Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold that, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you, and opportunities to fade, shade and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent, and believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. Fighting cause I refuse to lose ya. I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them instinct the moment you let me round. I torched it, screamed, shouted, and forced it to move off that groove it made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you free from danger. Hurt, fear, depression, and anger, confusing, rage, and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting but what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah, the pain came and the rain fell down, but I maintained through the skirmish. cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
As you know, I fight for you, I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
I'll fight, you know I'm ready, girl, I'll fight for you.
Your
direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I fight for you. Shalom, Yisrael, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'ah of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And this is a day in which we're supposed to give the Most High honor and glory, His Holy Sabbath, the day in which He said that He's going to come and sup with us. So I hope everyone has opened their doors for Him to enter and sup with you and open your mind to the wonders of His Word on this Sabbath day. As always, I remind everyone, if you haven't already done so, grab all your study tools that is needed for a good study. You've heard the list before, so I'm not going to say it again. Nope, I'm going to say it. Shalom, everyone, get your iPads, notepads, pens, pencils, concordance, your Bible dictionaries, all those things that you would need for a good study. And the Father has some more information that He wants to share with us and give you an opportunity to hear His truth and another opportunity for you to elevate with Him through His Son, Yahushua. As always, I'm going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for sending thy Son, Yahushua, to this earth to dwell amongst us and to teach us your ways and your truth, to leave us that perfect example in which we are supposed to look to and give honor to so that we can be in line with you. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the lessons that you've given us throughout the course of this week. And we thank you for the healing that you have put on our brothers and sisters who are in need of healing, both physically, spiritually, emotionally. We thank you, Father, for your assistance that you've given to them. We thank you for the assistance that you've given to us throughout the course of this week and allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor in the name of thy Son. We thank you, Father, for your loving kindness, tender mercies that you have shown us through thy Son, Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom, family, once again, we're going to be going through Joshua or Yahushua, and we're going to be going through chapter 13 to, I believe, 16. Yes, we're going to go from 13 to 16. But before we start there, just want to do a rehash, and the rehash that I want to go on is dealing with, you know, Yahushua, son of Nun. And some of the things that he, you know, we read about in the beginning. And as we, you know, when we was reading through, we realized that, you know, when they conquered Jericho, it was during the season in which we're approaching Passover. And before that, what did they do? He circumcised the people. Why? Because he had circumcised a new generation that came out of Egypt, that was grew up in the wilderness, and he circumcised them, and then they went into the promised land. But before that happened, before they went into the promised land, the Father sanctified them. You know, so what is he doing? You know, we have to be circumcised. What do we need to circumcise? As the scripture talks about, is our minds. See, because when we look at Abraham, who was the father of faith, yeah, he did go through the physical circumcision, but he had already was circumcised in his mind and believed in Yahweh before he went through the physical circumcision. Because we read in the scriptures and understand the whole nature of man, how man is deceitful, man is wicked, and his thoughts are evil all the time. So Abraham, being the father of faith, had faith in Yahweh before he did a physical sign. He spiritually was in tune with Yahweh. And that's the same thing with us being in time. We have to be physically in tune with Yahweh. Our minds have to be circumcised. Our minds have to be willing to accept Yahweh's word. Because what are we? We are stiff-necked people. And I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. And it says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. And, you know, as I say all the time, the word heart, when you look it up in the Hebrew, it means your mind, your thinking. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your mind and be no more stiff-necked. See, if we understand our nature, our true nature is to be disobedient and to be stiff-necked and rebellious. So if we start to strip that away, what's going to happen? The Father is going to assist us in stripping it away. And when he strips it away, what is he going to do? He's going to begin to rebuild you. He's going to make you be willing to accept, or you are already being willing to accept what he has to share with you. And that is his spirit. And that is his word. So when you accept these things, what are you going to do? You're going to be changing. As the scripture said, you're becoming a new person in the word. But when you cleave to Yahushua, you become a new person in him, because it is him who is dwelling in you now. That spirit, that word. We come to understand that that word is him. And if we're putting him inside of us, then the only thing we can do is change. But that's if we're willing to change and willing to accept the guidance and the teaching that the Spirit leads you through his word to understand. But you have to be willing to follow, willing to be led. See, sometimes we as individuals, we don't want to be led. We don't want to be told. And because of that, we do not humble ourselves. So what did he do? He took Israel through the desert. Why? To humble them. Why is the new generation, when they go over the Jordan, they're being humbled again. Humbling to believe in the Most High, believing what the Most High tells them through his servant. Same thing today. He humbling each and every one that's walking after his word, following his son, Yahushua. He's humbling them through the word, through that spirit. we as individuals must be willing to accept that guidance. We have to accept those who have been chosen to lead and guide. And the only way we can do that is we allow the Most High to soften that stony heart, to break it down, so that it can be malleable, as one would say. Down so that we can be reshaped for His purpose. Not we stay in the state we are and hope that He uses us based on how we are. No, that's not what He's going to do. Because we have to understand our true nature. And our true nature is to be rebellious. So just going back to one of the first things that Yahushua, son of Nun, did was he circumcised the people. And as we know, the circumcision is just a sign of levels of loyalty. And it was for the men. It was for the men. That was a token that the men went through. But the men are supposed to teach their families. And as the men teach their families, then their families are also being circumcised. Because their thinking is being changed also by what the leader of each household is teaching, the ones that are housed inside that house that man leads or that man protects. Or as that man protects his family, Yahweh protects that man that stays in His word, that continue in His word. Because as that man stays in His word, that man gets strengthened in His word. And as we learned in the scriptures, the Father says, I'll fight for you. I'll go before you. I'll maintain peace for you. I just need you to be obedient and do as I say. So from here, so now we're going to go into Joshua chapter 13. Verse 1, and then we're gonna read through it. If the Father wants me to stop, He's going to stop me. But what we're going to do, like I said, we're going to start 13, but, just to rehash, they done been through some wars. They done conquered a couple of kings, under the leadership of Yahushua, son of Nun. They done been through a situation where they conquered some people and someone didn't listen. And the whole nation lost. Lives were lost because one individual decided he didn't want to obey what was told to him. Lives were lost. Do we believe that that won't happen today? When the leader tells you to do something for the sake of the whole, and you choose to do what you want to do, do you think that your doing won't affect everybody else? Well, we see throughout the scriptures on various occasions, no. The doings of one person affects the whole. We've seen throughout, thus far, how people feared Israel. People feared the fact that Yahushua, son of Nun, was coming their way. People feared, and as a result, they realized, let's get together, and maybe we can conquer Yahushua, son of Nun. But they couldn't conquer Yahushua, son of Nun. Why? Because Yahweh went before them and beat them up, messed their minds up. And they say they wax afraid. And when you look at that term wax, that means they increased in fear. That means, looking at it from another perspective. They knew they was getting into a fight, and they knew that they really had no chances of winning. But they went into the fight anyway. Why? Because the fight came to them. But now we're going to get into another aspect of Yahushua, son of Nun, and Yisrael. Chapter 13, verse 1, and it reads, "Now Yahushua was old and stricken in years." So now, thus far, you know, we were, you know, when we started off, it seemed like it was right there around Passover. But, you know, as we read the scriptures many times, sometimes we think it was right then and there, all those occurrences happened in that particular time frame. But as we read the scriptures, we know this is a period of time. Now, the period of time we're coming into now is that Yahushua is old. As it says, Yahushua was old and stricken in years. And Yahweh said unto him, "Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed." So he letting them know up front, hey, look, you know what, you old, man. It's a lot of land that you haven't conquered yet. And then he lets them know, this is the land that yet remains, all the borders of the Philistines and all of Geshuri from Seor, which is before Egypt, even upon the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanites, five lords of the palace of the Philistines, the Girgazites, the Ashadites, Eshkelonites, the Gittites, the Ekronites, also the Ebites, from the south all the land of Canaanites and Merari, Merah, that is beside of Sidonians, the Sidonians, upon Ephek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Gibeonites, and all of Lebanon toward the sunrise from Baal-God under Mount Hermon until the entering into Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon into Misrith-Ol-Simein. And all of Sidonian, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it be a lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan eastward, even as Moses the servant of Yahweh gave them, from Aroer, that is upon the bank of the river of Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plains of Medeba unto Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon unto the borders of the children of Ammon, and Gilead and the borders of Geshurites and Mahakaiites, and all Mount Hamon, and all Bashan, until Salkah, all the kingdoms of Og and Bashan, which reigned in Ashdod, and in Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, with these did Moses smite and cast them out. Nonetheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor and Mahathites. I'm going to stop here for a minute. So We just realized, you know, Father just told us, hey, that Israel didn't get rid of these people. You know, when he told them to get rid of these people, why? You're going to occupy the land, so you got to get rid of them. Get rid of these people. But the Gergesites and the Mahatharites dwelled among Israel until this day. So when we sit back and we talk about how Israel is maintained by different lands and different peoples and different cultures, that's because they were disobedient and didn't do what the Father told them to do. And because Israel allowed these different people to dwell among them, they began to start picking up habits. If we pay attention to nowadays when Israel go amongst people, they picking up other people's habits and not sticking strictly to what thus saith Yahweh. And many times, you know, in the beginning when he talked about them going into these lands, he said, look, when you go into these lands, do not partake in what they're doing. Stick to my word. Keep my word. Keep my law, statutes, and judgment. But yet, Israel didn't do that. As a result, we have a lot of confusion amongst Israel. Verse 14. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave no inheritance. The sacrifices of Yahweh, the sacrifice of Yahweh Elohim of Israel, made by fire, are their inheritance. As he said unto them. Then Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their, and their coast was from Aroer, that is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plains of Medeba, Heshbon, and all the cities that are in the plains of Dibon, and Baal, and Beth Baal Meon, and Yahazah, and Kedemoth, and Mithah, and whoa, I'm going to look this one up. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess that up. Wait a minute. Ooh, I am going to mess it up. Kiyafai, Sidma, Zar, Zer, Sahar, in the Mount of the Valley, and Beth Peor, and Ashtoth, Pisgah, and Beth, Jesmoth, and all the cities of the plains, and all the kingdoms of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses smote with the prince of Midia, Evi, Rekin, Zor, Hor, Reba, which were dukes of Sihon, dwelled in this country. Baal, also the son of Peor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that was slain by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof. This was an inheritance of the children of Reuben, after their families and cities in the village thereof. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad according to their families. Their coast was Jazer and all the cities of Gilead and half the land of the children of Ammon unto Aroer, that is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon unto Ramah Mitzvah and Betonim and from Mahanaim unto the border of Debir and the valley of Aram and Beth Nirah and Sukkot and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Zion, king of Heshbon, Jordan, and the border even unto the edge of the sea of Kinnereth, on the other side of the Jordan eastward. So far what we're talking about is the different, you know, lots that were given to the children of Israel. So far we've come across one particular family who didn't get rid of the people, so they are living amongst a certain group of people that had a level, you know, we can say right now they had a level of influence on them because they didn't get them out of there. Or, you know, we can say dealing with faith, because that's what we started off with, in dealing with faith. You know, their faith wasn't strong enough in the Most High that they got rid of these people out of the land. Verse 28, this is the inheritance of the children of Gad, after their families, the cities and villages. And Moses gave inheritance unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, and this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. And their coast was from Mahanaim, also Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 70 cities, and half Galeed, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the children of Machir by their families. These are the countries which Moses did distribute from the inheritance of the plains of Moab on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribes of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. Yahweh Elohim of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. So when we deal with Levi, what is Moses saying? Their inheritance comes from the Most High. That goes on to this day, Levi. As we know, Levi is the one that has them, you know, Levi, when we deal with the Hebrew, let me go there real quick, you know, it means joined to. So who are they joined to? They're joined to the Most High. So that tribe is joined to the Most High, and it's the Most High that's given them their wealth, giving them their inheritance. And if we pay attention to Levi, Levi was connected to every tribe. So where was they getting their inheritance from? They was getting their inheritance from the people, because Levi was connected, keeping the people connected to the Most High. And the Most High was blessing the people so that they can take care of the Levites, which were the priests. Chapter 14. And all these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Yahushua son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of Israel distributed from the inheritance to them, and distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and a half and the half tribe on the other side of the Jordan. But unto the Levites, he gave no inheritance among them. That's being, as we've been taught, or as our rabbis, he doubled down in on this. So it must be a significance of him bringing it to the attention of the people that the Levites were not given an inheritance among the people. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore, they gave no part unto the Levites and the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As Yahweh commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Yehuda came into Yahushua and Gilead, and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzerite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that Yahweh said unto Moses, the man of Yah, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of Yah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word against, as it was my own heart. Nonetheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed Yahweh, my Elohim. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed Yahweh, my Elohim. And now, behold, Yahweh hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So now we get a glimpse of how old he is. You know, he's about 85 years old. Guess me. Even since Yahweh spake these words unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Okay. Should have read down a little more. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. So I'm going to stop here for a minute. What is Caleb saying? He's saying my faith is strong as it was then as it is now. You know, and it's 45 years later. I'm 85 years old. And my faith is just as strong as it was back then. Now, therefore, give me this mountain wherefore Yahweh spake in that day, for thou heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the city was great and fenced. If so be it, Yahweh will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as Yahweh said. And Yahushua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because that he wholly followed Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Verse 15, and the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which was Arba. Arba was a great, great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. So I'm going to stop here for a minute, you know, because what we seeing here, a man of Yah promised particular land, or he made an oath to a believer. And then when it came time to collect, it was given to him. It was granted to him. Why? Because of his faith. Because of his faith. And it was promised to him. And what was it? He continued to be a strong believer. His faith was great. And that's the same thing for us in this day. When we stand firm for Yahweh, Yahweh going to stand firm for us. And the things that he promised to us is going to come our way in his time. And that's the thing that we have to be mindful of. We have to be patient. Just as Yahweh is patient with us, we have to be patient with him. We have to realize things are not being done on our time. They're being done according to his will, according to his way, according to his pattern. Not according to ours. We can't dictate what goes on, what the Father did. Can't dictate that. Only thing we can do is be obedient to his word. That's what we're supposed to do. And in our obedience, we're going to get well done, my good and faithful servant. And you will get your just reward. But that's not why we're doing the things that we do. We're doing the things we do because we love him. Because he chose us. Because he knew we would love him and be obedient to him. We read in the scriptures, Yahushua said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Why? Because I seen something in you. One of the prophets, you know, we read in the scripture and he say, I knew you before you was in the womb. So the Father already knows. But he still gives us an opportunity to choose him and to walk according to his ways and to cleave to his son, Yahushua, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to meet him, and that's the Father, through his son, through our brother, through our king, through our Savior, Yahushua. The Messiah, because we live in we've come up to an era where we didn't heard about many messiahs, but he is the Messiah, the one who was chosen before the universe was even formed. But do you believe that? That is the question. Or you so stiff-necked and hard-headed and think that through your scholarship and your knowledge that you can be the Messiah and have people follow you. Because we're in that era, too, where people raising themselves up to be messiahs for the Father to show you that you're not. Do you want to be like that, raising yourself up to be something that you're not? No, that's not what you want. You want to continue to be that humble servant, waiting to be obedient, waiting to be chosen to do your part in uplifting his name and lost generation. Chapter 15, as you see what we're going through now, we're just going through the land being divided up and the different inheritance that people got and the different lands that they, you know, were given. So now we're going into chapter 15, and it reads, this then was the lot of the tribes of the children of Yehuda by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin southward, was the uppermost part of the south coast, and their south border was from the shore of the salt sea, from the bay that looketh southward and they went out to the south side of Ma'ale, Ma'el, Hakrabim, and passed along into Zin, and ascended up to the south side and to Kadesh Barnea, and passed along Hezron, and went up to Hadar, and fetched and compassed to Karakah. From thence it passed toward Asmon, and went out into the river of Egypt. And the going out of that coast, where at the sea, this shall be your south coast. And the east border was the south sea, the salt sea, I apologize, the salt sea, even to the end of the Jordan. And their border in the north quarter was from the bay of the sea at the uppermost part of the Jordan. And the border went up to Beth Hogla and passed along by the north of Beth Arabah. And the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the border went up. Hold on for a minute. Verse 7. And the border went up toward Debir from the valley of Achor and south and so northward, looking toward Gilgal. That is before the going up to Adumim, which is on the south side of the river, and the border passing toward the water of Enishmesh, and going out therefore where at Enrogal. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom and to the south side of the Jebusite. The same is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of, the Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward. And the border was drawn from the top of the hill unto the fountain of the water of Niphtoah, and went out to the cities of Mount Ephron, and to the borders was drawn to Baalah, which is Kir Jerim. And the border compassed from Baalah westward into Mount Seir, and passed along into the side of the Mount of Jerim, which is Kislon, on the north side, which went down to Beth Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah. So I'm going to stop here for a minute, because as we go through some of these borders and some of these locations have different names. So we're going to understand that some of these places that they, you know, occupied, they changed the name of it. You know, so I'm going to go back for a minute, you know, just, you know, brought to my mind, what does this name mean, and what did it, so we're going to go to Baalah, you know, because it said which was something else. So I'm going to stop here. We're going back to verse 9. I'm going to look that word up and see what it says, the translation of it. It says mistress. All right. What else it says? And it says this is three cities of Palestine. Okay, so we say mistress. Now, that's what it says in one term, and it, and this, and then the other term is this. The Kiryat Yearim, and it means city of force. And it says this is the city of northern border of Yehuda on the west side, in the south boundary of Benjamin. And that's all, yeah, it just means force. So from the different terms, one term means mistress, one means a force. And I guess, you know, when you're looking at that, you know, that particular name from Palestine, that means that's, you know, the Arabs, you know, when we deal with sometimes, you know, Palestinians, Arabs, that, so that must be coming from that particular language that this particular name was given. So we're going to go back to, going back to verse 10, and it's, and it reads, and the border compassed from Baalah westward into Mount Zeir. And passed along the upper, along unto the side of the Mount of Gerim, which is Kesalon on the north side, and went down to Beth Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah. And the borders went out, and the borders, and the west border was the Great Sea, and the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children of Yehuda, round about according to their families. And then Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Yehuda according to the commandment of Yahweh to Yahushua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove the three sons of Anak, Shishah and Ahima and Talmah, the children of Anak. And he went up thence into the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirath Sefer and taketh it to him, will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksna, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her donkey. And Caleb said unto her, what willest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also spring of water. And he gave her the upper springs and neither spring, and the neither spring. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Yehuda according to their families. So I'm going to stop here for a minute. And I'm talking, you know, and this is going back to what Caleb said in the earlier part, how he said he was the strongest he was, when he was young. And what did he do? When he got this inheritance, these children of Anaki were still there. And he got rid of them. He got rid of it, you know, he got rid of the descendants. Well, he drove them descendants out of there with the help of, you know, with the help of his brother. Well, wait a minute. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm going back to this point right here because what is he, you know, he said that he was going to do this. I'm just as strong. And this just to reiterate the point that was said earlier, how these lands that they occupied still had people in them. And they had to get rid of these people. And Caleb, in his old age, and his family did what they, you know, did what was what they were supposed to do, get rid of these people. Verse 19, who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the neither springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Yehuda, according to their families. And the uppermost cities of the tribes of the children of Yehuda toward the coast of Edom, southward, were Zeal, Eder, and Jagir, and Kena, Dimona, Ada, Kiddish, Hazor, Kithon, Ziph, Kilim, Be'alo, and Hazor, Hada'ata, Kiroth, Hezron, which is Hazor, Amam, Shema, Moleda, and Hazor Gada, Hishmon, Beth Pelet, Hazar, Shual, Beshiva, Ba'alah, Im, Azim, Etolad, Kisil, Horama, Ziklag, Mana, Sasana, Lebaoth, and Shilhim, An, Ramon. All of the cities are 29 with their villages. And in the valley of Eshtaol, and Zoria and Zanoah and Inginin and Tupua and Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Sokol, Atkia, and wait a minute. I lost my place. Oh, here we go. 36. Verse 36. And Sharaim, Adithnaim, and Gedera Rothaim, 14 cities with their villages. Zana, Hasda, Da God, the Lean, Mitzvah, Jok, Chali, Lakish, Lakish. Bolt, Kaf, Eglon, Kabon, La Mam, Kelly Leash, Kiss Leash, and Gederoth, Beth Dagon, Naama, Mikeda, 16 cities with their villages, Libna, Hefer, Ashan, Yifta, Ashna, Nizib, and Kila, Akziv, and Mare Sha'ah, 9 cities with their villagers, Ekron with her towns and her villages, from Ekron even unto the sea, all that lay near Ashdod with their city, with their villages, Ashdod with her towns and her villages, the Oz, with her towns and her villages, and to the rivers of Egypt and the great sea and the borders thereof. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, I didn't move backwards. What up, family? Thank you. Verse 48, touch the screen and then change the pages. All right. Verse 48, in the mountain of Zamir, and Jatir, and Sokol, and Da'ana, and Kir, Sanana, which is Debir, and Anav, and Esh, Chemo, Anin, Goshen, Holon, Gilo, 11 cities with their villages, Arab, and Duma, and Ishan, and Janum, Tupua, and Afika, Afaka, and Hama, and Humka, and Kereth Abba, which is Hebron, and Zaor, 9 cities and their villages, Ma'un, Carmel, Zif, Yatua, Jezreel, Jokdaam, Zanoa, Cain, Gibeah, Timnah, 10 cities with their villages, Hahu, Zor, Gedor, Mahara, Beth Anof, El Tekun, six cities with bear villages. Kiriath Baal, which is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, two cities with bear villages in the wilderness of Beth Araba, Medin, and Sikaka, and Nibshan, and the city of Salt, and Engedi, sorry about that, family. Six cities, which are their villages. Family, can I get a break? Can I get a break for a minute? Let me get a break. All right, verse 63. Yahushua, chapter 15, verse 63. And it reads, as for the Jebusites and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Yahuda could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Yahuda at Jerusalem until this day. And that's interesting. After reading all of this land and all of these different cities, that Yahuda did not drive these people out. Look at all this influence that Jerusalem has been influenced by. Despite the nature that they already had going on with them. I'm going to throw this one out there because I'm going to go back after this and I'm going to look at these names and see what they mean. And I'm going to suggest that y'all do the same thing, family, in your free time. Look some of these names up of these different cities and villages that, you know, that the children of Israel came across. And then we look at it and we relate it to our particular time now. You know, because if I go back in my history and the different places that I lived, and I've only lived here in Baltimore and Raleigh, but I've lived in different parts of Baltimore. And you pick up different things in different areas of this, you know, I'm going to say of this city. But could you imagine the children of Yahuda, the things that the children of Yahuda had been through up until this point, the different things that were passed down from father to son, and to be inhabited by these different people that are outside of the word of the Most High, that are Gentile nations, and the different things that they may have picked up from these particular people and passed on. And that's why when we talk about Israel in this day and time, why are they in a state of confusion? Because of the different things that our ancestors have picked up throughout the course of the years and how they were disobedient to the word, how they didn't stand firm on Yahweh's statutes and judgments. And that's why we are where we are right now. This is one of the reasons why Yahweh is allowing us to go through his whole word so that we can read his testimony. Read our history so that we won't make the same mistakes, so that we can learn from their mistakes, so that we can be obedient and have faith that he is going to protect us. Because just as Yahushua, son of Nun, told them these things, Moses told them the same thing. You know, and then we come up to our time. Yahushua told the people in his time the same thing. and family. And I ask you all to forgive me for the pronunciation and names. I went through them and I was looking at them in the Hebrew and I still fell over. But the message that we need to understand, and so, you know, the message that we need to understand is that we have to have faith in the Word of Yah. We have to have faith in Yahushua. We have to have faith and stand on His Word, what He has laid down for us in these Holy Scriptures. And the more we stand on His Word, the stronger we get in His Word, the more we follow Him as He leads us, because if we pay attention to the Scriptures, it is that Spirit that led them through the wilderness. It's that Spirit that went before them and fought these battles for them as they went over the Jordan. And they went through these battles. That Spirit went forth and did what it did. And we read, and I think it's in one of the songs that we read in our liturgy, Yahweh is a man of war. And when we're going through Joshua, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing Yahushua, son of Nun, warned, getting it in. Why? Because he's listening to Yahweh telling him, this is where you're going. This is what you do. You know, so bringing it up to the Messiah's time, you know, him acknowledging himself as Yahushua. Yahushua. Don't you, you know, we can, you know, just imagine those brothers and sisters who knew about Joshua, son of Nun, and what he did. And when you have another Yahushua coming on the scene, and they expecting him to be like Joshua, son of Nun. But those who are continuing his word understand that he is like Joshua, son of Nun. The battle that he came here to deal with was a spiritual battle. And what did he do? He accomplished it. He gave everything. And when he accomplished it, what did he tell the disciples? So I'm giving you the keys. Giving you the keys. But you're not going to be able to wield these keys and understand these keys if your faith is not in me. I'm taking them from them. Why? Because they had the keys, but they had no faith in me. They did not cleave to the spirituality of the word, but they cleave to the physical aspects of the word. As a result, they were lost. Because they was always looking for this physical thing, this physical thing, this physical thing. When the battle that Yahushua, our Messiah, came back to deal with was that invisible battle. And see, and that's how we can become obedient. Because we're circumcising our mind in the spiritual and cutting away that stony heart, cutting it away, and allowing our hearts into that lively stone that is useful for the Most High, that can build on top of another and be okay with it. Because as we build on that word, build on that spirit, only thing we're doing is supporting the ones above us, and the ones below us is supporting us to make one solid wall. We're here to build up one another and support one another, not to tear down one another. We're supposed to be building a solid wall. Some might be on the left, some might be on the right, some might, you know, I'm going to use this. Some might be on the north side. Some might be on the south side. Some might be on the east side. Some might be on the west side. But ultimately, that covering is Yahushua. And we want to house that spirit of Yahushua in us so that the Father, when he looks down, he sees his Son, Yahra'ah, not far away, but the Yahushua is who he sees. Because it's one body, and Yahushua is the head. And because, and using the analogy of a body, and if you are toxic to that body, the body will get rid of you. If you are waste, the body will get rid of you. What's getting rid of you? That spirit. Because your spirit is not going to match the spirit of Yahushua. As a result, you're coming out in that wash. You're coming out one way or another. You're going to be a boil. You're going to be a cyst. You're going to be dung. You're going to be spittle. You're going to be waste. And all those things that I said, they are waste that come out of the body. So ask yourself, do I want to be compared to spittle? Do I want to be compared to a cyst, dung, varmint? If you're not here to help build and strengthen and support, the Father, through his Spirit, is going to get rid of you. Going back to this last chapter, family. Chapter 16. Excuse me, family. I'm just laughing at myself, you know, because that last chapter was a beauty, boy. It had me. I was getting weary. As you've seen, I did get weary. And then I realized that I had one more verse to go. You know, but got to laugh at myself. And I'm thankful the Father has given me this opportunity, family, to read this part in Joshua. You know, like I said, when we started off, it was saying how he's getting old. He's up in age, you know, and he still had a lot of work to do. Chapter 16, verse 1, and the lot of the children of Joseph fell from the Jordan by Jericho into the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and pass along into the borders of Arki to Ataroth, and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhethi, and to the coast of Beth Horon, Benezer, and to Gezer, and the going out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance, and the border of the children of Ephraim according to the families of thus even the borders of their inheritance on the east side was Ataroth, Adar, unto Beth Horon, the upper, and the border went out toward the sea of Mikmetha, on the north side, and the border went about eastward unto Ta'anethshilo, and passed by it on the sea of, I mean, the sea passed by on the east to Yanoah. And it went down from Naoah to Ashtaroth and to Naarath and came to Jericho and went out at Jordan. The border went out from Tapua westward unto the river Kana. And going out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And separated cities, for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities and their villages. And they drove not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites until this day and serve under tribute. And this concludes chapter 16. But like, I mean, hallelujah. And this concludes chapter 16, family. And one of the things that, you know, we must remember that their goal when we started was to clear these lands, clear these people out. And we came across a couple of families or tribes that failed, you know, the tribe of Yehuda. They clearly brought to our attention that they failed to clear the people out. We coming down here to Ephraim and Manasseh. They failed to clear the Canaanites out. So that goes back to the point that was mentioned earlier. Because they didn't get rid of these people, their ways of following the Most High was influenced. And we see that today. When Israel mingles among certain people or certain groups, what happens? They begin to twist and turn the ways of the Most High to be appealing to other people. You know, we mentioned this comment a couple, you know, sessions ago, eating off of everybody's plate. This is what happens when you mingle around people and you, as the scripture talks about, you know, with Israel, and he talks about when the Gentiles sojourn amongst you or when the strangers sojourn amongst you. The longer they sojourn amongst you and you're doing the right thing and keeping his law, statutes, and judgment, that's what they learned. If you, you know, but when Israel was amongst these different nations and they was walking amongst them and they didn't get rid of them, they became friends with them, they co-mingled with them, what did they do? They started picking up their ways. And some of these things continue to anger Yahweh because they're not doing what I told them to do. They're forgetting about the things that I have done for them. They're forgetting about what the prophets have told them. They're forgetting about what the leaders have told them. Why? Because of lack of faith in him. Lack of faith in him. Sometimes we have to reduce things to the least common denominator. It's your lack of faith in him. It's lack of faith in his son. Because the scriptures say he not thought it robbery to be equal with his father. We read in the scriptures how the Father gave him all power, all authority. This is Yahushua who had this because it was granted to him by his Father. This is saying that Yah had trust in his Son, that he allowed him to make decisions. on his behalf. But what did Yahushua say? No, I do these things because my Father tells me. Even though he had the authority to do so, he still consulted the Father on what to do. That's the same thing with us. Do we have faith in the Father? I'm going to go to a scripture real quick. You know, because, you know, like I said, I'm at the end of the scriptures I'm reading for tonight. You know, this is one of the scriptures we heard it before. And read, this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Yah must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're seeking the Father. But what did Yahushua say? You can't find the Father unless you have a relationship with me. What did Yahushua tell Thomas? Yo, when you see me, you see the Father. Philip, okay, Philip, thank you. Thank you, sister. Philip. He was a representation of his Father. So if we become a representation of Yahushua, then who are we a representation of? The Father. But if we're not seeking him, if we're not trying to please him, if we're not being obedient to him, who are we seeking? Circumcise that mind of yours, family. You have to put in that work. You have to realize that your experiences through this word and your experiences through this life, that you have to compare them and realize where you are in there. And get yourself right. We read in the scripture, the kingdom of Yah is at hand. At hand. You become a daily sacrifice. Trying to keep yourself in right standing. And then if you read a little further down and after that scripture, it talks about our forefathers and what they did to show their faith. First of all, they had faith in him in their minds, in their thinking. And their actions demonstrated that. And that's the same with us today. The formula hasn't changed. Hasn't changed at all. The things that work for Noah is the same thing that worked for us. Same thing that worked for Abraham worked for us. Isaac, Jacob, the same thing worked for us. And all the other prophets. All the other teachers in Israel, those who have been chosen by him to teach his word, those who are teaching the word and is no different than anybody else that taught the word before him, speaking of that one mind. And what's that one mind? The mind of the Messiah. So, family, hopefully you gleaned some things from these last four chapters, and hopefully you gleaned some things from the first 16 chapters we didn't read in Yahushua. Understand some of the things that he did, Yahushua, son of Nun. That's his tactics in war. See, we at war, but we have to realize it's not a fleshly war that we're going to be dealing with. It's a spiritual war, battle of wits. Because sometimes you think that it's a battle of wits with people. No, it ain't no battle of wits. The Father, Yahushua, has already won. Now, we just have to choose what side we want to be on. Just like we just had these different accounts in our history. Elijah, how long will you hawk between two opinions? Yo, choose a side. Moses, who's standing for Yahweh? And then afterwards, what happened? Oh, they had to kill their brothers. Why? Because he wasn't on the right side. Same thing with Elijah. What happened? Boom. He went to battle. What are we reading about? Yahushua, son of Nun. He going into the promised land. He going to battle. When you standing up for Yahweh, standing up for Yah, you at war. But the war we at is spiritual. It's a spiritual war. And, you know, just, you know, go back to the word. You know, sometimes, you know, people want to hear verses, you know, chapter and verse, Ephesians chapter 6. Go ahead, boom. It's interesting. These are some of the ones I know. So, is that it? No, that ain't it. What is it? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. We're going to go to 10. And this translates, they read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I think I'm going to go down to 11. First 10 and 11. It says, following my brother, be strong in Yahweh and in the power and in his might. Understand? You know, that's what we read. Yo, that's what he told Yahushua, son of Nun. Be strong and courageous. What is he telling us? Brothers, be strong in Yahweh and in the power of his might. See, it's not our power. It's not our might. And we've seen that. When he said, I go before you and I fight this fight for you, that's what he's telling you. In my mind, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fight this. But you got to be strong in me first. And then he say, put on the whole armor of God. Or put on the whole armor of Yah. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the adversary, of the devil. See, if we putting on the armor of Yah, what is the armor of Yah but Yahushua? That's what we're putting on. We're putting on Yahushua. Why? Because we're taking his word in. And we're becoming him. And we already know about what it said about the devil when he confronted Yahushua. Yo, he beats feet. He flees. But then I'm going to go to verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, we got to get our minds right, people. And I'm not exempt. Got to get our minds right so that we can be good vessels to teach these people that's in darkness. What'd he say? The earth is in darkness and the people are in gross darkness. But we have been given a glimpse of that light. We are walking toward that light. And the more we continue and walk in this way, what the closer we get to that light. And the closer we get to that light, the more that light begins to shine from us to the point where we become part of that light. Think of a candle. You're one candle, Your friend is another candle, your sister, your wife, your family. And what happens? We all come together. Y'all become one flame. One flame. And that's what's happening. As we walk through Yahushua, we become part of that one flame, that one spirit. We become that part of that one body, that one structure that is made of many parts.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father, as we come before thee, myself, my family, and all of you that are in this listening audience, Father, we pray to you and ask of thee to continue to utilize us for your purpose. Continue to help us to utilize your word to scale the foolishness from us. Help us to utilize your word to soften our hearts. Utilize thy word to get rid of our isms and our schisms that prevent us from being used for your purpose. Father, help us to continue to upon your word and build with our brothers and sisters to be those lively stones, to be the part of that body of Yahushua. For we understand that it's just a few that's going to stand firm for you. But we read in our history that that's all you need is a few dedicated people to do your will. Father, I ask of thee on behalf of my family, my friends, and listening audience, continue to strengthen us in your word and in your truth, assisting us to stand on your word in our conscious mind, stand on your word in our unconscious mind. Help us to guard our gates. Help us to fight against those things that are going contrary to your will and to your word. True Israel that stands for you in this day and time. Uplifting your name, uplifting your word, uplifting thy son. For we know your son is already uplifted. May we keep our eyes on him and understand what he has done for us as we come into this Passover season. May we realize and understand what he has done for us so that we can even acknowledge this season as it comes. Acknowledging your word and your truth, and acknowledging your love that you have for us individually and collectively. Father, we ask of thee to hear this prayer and the prayer of everybody that's listening as we approach this season. May we approach this season in the right frame of mind. May we continue to cleanse ourselves and search ourselves so that we can be like thy word, be like thy truth, which is perfect in your eyes. Father, we thank thee once again for allowing us to come to this Sabbath day to give you honor and give you praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Yahushua, for standing up for us day in and day out. Hallelujah. And we thank you
for giving us the strength to give you praise and to stand on your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his peace to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber. And remember, Yah loves you, and he shows his love to you through the sacrifice of his son. And Yahushua showed his love for you also by being a willing sacrifice. Shabbat shalom. May everyone have a peaceful slumber. And hopefully you enjoy this meal of the evening. Shalom.
Yeah. Today. I am humble, so I bow down. Nice to meet to you. I give you me as a living sacrifice. Yeah. Everything I do is for you. You swallow me like a babe. Only in you I put my faith. Spoke to my heart today. When I think of you, it's hard. I can't explain, it's something that most can attain. There's so much joy in thee. Righteous is your holy name. Your ways, your thoughts, they remain the same. You took me and broke me down.
Down, 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 down.
You refine me when you try me through the fire.
We will do what you say.
Gadol Yahweh, U Meholal Meod, Vair Eloheinu, Har Karasho, Yife Nof, Meshoshal Haaretz, Hatzion Yakerti, Safon Kiryat Melek Rav, Elohim Be'ar Menoteha, Noda Le Mishkav.
Greatly to be.